God has done a mighty work of regeneration in you, that through the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, God called you out of a state of spiritual death and alienation from God and has given you eternal life. You've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness, from a kingdom of death, to the kingdom of light and a kingdom of life.
Wonder Lake Bible Church,
building mature followers of Jesus Christ.
Well, folks, we have been talking about some wonderful things that we have that are ours by faith in Jesus Christ, our great riches that are ours by faith in Jesus Christ. And recall, I've asked, how many of you would be excited if you found out you just inherited a great sum of money? And no one really wanted to raise their hand because no one said, oh, I'm not materialistic. I wouldn't be excited about that at all. But there were a few honest people in the back here said, yes, that would be very exciting to find out that you'd inherited a great amount of money. But the fact is, that's not very likely, that scenario. And even if it did happen, it might solve a few problems at first, but then we would quickly discover that it doesn't solve all of our problems, and in fact, that money is a poor substitute for joy and eternal blessing. If you don't believe that, take a look at all of the miserable, wealthy people in this world. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have something infinitely better than great material wealth. You are the recipient of every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You have a vast inheritance in Christ, some of which you are experiencing right now, but most of it that you will experience later. Then you will experience the fullness of it. And unlike anything that this world has to offer, this great inheritance will bring ultimate joy and satisfaction to you, and it will last for how long? Forever and ever and ever. And it will bring everlasting glory to God, and there is no higher good than that in all of the universe. Yours now by faith, and that's something for us to get excited about. That's something for us to be grateful for. That's something for which we can give praise to God. So I'd ask again, do you know who you are? Do you know who you are in Christ? A child of God. So today then we'll continue our series exploring our riches in Christ by focusing once again on God's love for you from the beginning and how he then called you out. And you and I who were spiritually dead, he made us alive. He made us alive in Christ Jesus. Before there was anything, he knew you. And he loved you, and he chose you to receive every spiritual blessing in Christ. Well, once again, I am seeking to challenge our thinking in this area. I'm asking you to put on those thinking caps once again. And as I was reflecting on the best way to present these vast riches that we have in Jesus Christ, I decided to follow the chain of the Ordo Salutis. The Ordo Salutis is a Latin phrase that means the order of our salvation. The Bible scholars and theologians use this term to describe the order or the process by which God saves and blesses human beings. There's a chronological element to it from our perspective, certainly from the human perspective. There are indeed some things that occur before others in time. But since God is an eternal being, there are also elements of it that are best thought of as being in a logical order rather than chronological. All of this, everything that we've been looking at, it unfolds for us in time. But in Christ, God has blessed you with this from eternity, all of it. So the Ordo Salutis then is a way for us finite human beings to wrap our minds around the amazing salvation given to us by the grace of the infinite, the almighty, the eternal, the all-knowing, the all-powerful, sovereign Lord. Easy, right? Easy thing to wrap our minds around, right? I want to remind us again of this order of salvation the classical Calvinistic order of salvation. Last week we saw the classical Arminian order of salvation. And you recall that in Arminian theology, the role of human choices, the human will, is emphasized. But then within Calvinistic systems, the Calvinistic order of salvation, we see that the role of God's sovereignty, God's control over all things, is manifested and emphasized. Now, this matter of divine sovereignty, God's control over all things, and human responsibility, that we are accountable to God for the choices that we make, how these things fit together is not an easy thing for us to sort out, biblically or philosophically. And that is why Calvinists and Arminians and any other number of other varieties and perspectives on this have been debating it for centuries. And again, if you've not studied this, I would challenge you to sort through it all and come to your own convictions on the matter. But as I said, my perspective on all of this is Calvinistic, and therefore our approach in this series will follow a Calvinistic understanding of the order of our salvation, the order of our blessings in Christ. But as I've stated many times before, I respect wholeheartedly other views on this and would remind us once again of that great old maxim. Who knows what I'm going to say next? Anyone? What? In essentials, what? Unity. What? In non-essentials, liberty or diversity. In all things, charity or love. We are united in those absolute essentials of the faith in Jesus Christ, that we are saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves, but it is the gift of His that we receive. So we are united in those essentials. Last time we considered predestination and election, that is, before the foundation of the world, God knew you. God already knew you and loved you before anything came to be. That's something. Isn't that a mind-blowing thought, just that? Before there was anything, God already knew you and loved you. And God purposed, before there was anything, to bless you eternally with all of the riches of Jesus Christ. And so through your union with Christ by faith, you have become the recipient of vast riches of grace in Christ. Today then, when I consider calling and regeneration, that is that God has called you out in time in order to bless you with eternal blessings. In time, God has called to you. Maybe He's calling to some of you right now. But He called you to Himself in time to bless you with eternal blessings. And you, who were spiritually dead, He made alive. He made you spiritually alive together with Christ. And this a gift of His grace. So today then, your riches in Christ, calling and regeneration from death to life, from death to life, that God has done a mighty work of regeneration in you, that through the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, God called you out of a state of spiritual death and alienation from God and has given you eternal life. You've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness, from a kingdom of death, to the kingdom of light and a kingdom of life. We're in John chapter 5, and that is something worth getting excited about indeed. So we're in John chapter 5, verses 19 through 29 for today. I want to remind us again of this story of something that Jesus said about His relationship as the Son of God to God the Father, and what God the Father has assigned to Him, the Son. So let's look at John chapter 5, starting in verse 19. It says, "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own accord, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all that He Himself is doing. And greater works than these will He show Him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. And whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. So in this passage, Jesus reveals some things that are true about him as the Son of God. We see, first of all, that the Son of God works in harmony with the Father. Now, I know when we first read that there, it sounds a little bit like what is Jesus. I thought he was God and he was equal in every way to the Father. But here it sounds like in some way he is inferior to the Father, but he is not. Rather, there is an order of authority within the Godhead of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And here we see that the Son of God, fully equal to God the Father, nevertheless is in submission to the authority of the Father. That he is in submission to the Father, working according to the Father's will. So here was this amazing thing. We're here, the Son of God, eternally the Son of God, in submission to the Father then, came into this world and took on human flesh, became one of us, united himself with humanity. He became a human being, human in every way, just as you and I are, with a human nature, a human spirit, a human body, in every way human, just as you and I are, but with one very critical difference, being what? He was sinless. He had no sin. But he came into this world, and he was fully God and fully man. The one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, but with a divine nature and a human nature, each working in harmony, in conjunction, no confusion there. And as the Son of God, as the God-man, he then worked in submission to his Father and did as the Father instructed him, went as the Spirit led him. So the Son, in submission to the Father, working according to the Father's will. As you know, Jesus had been doing a great ministry of miracles. We were just in this not long ago in the Gospel of John. And remember that John had a word he used to describe these miracles of Jesus. He didn't call them miracles, but he said they were what? They were signs, evidences. Evidences of who he was and what he had come to do. Authenticating his identity and his works, his mighty work. And so he had done many miracles, and the people, his disciples, they had seen these things, but now here he is, though, he is saying, greater works than these will he do. Well, what were these greater works that the Son of God was going to do? I mean, these were some pretty amazing things, the miracles. If you look at the list of the miracles that Jesus did in his earthly ministry, some pretty amazing stuff. Feeding 15 or 20,000 people with how much food? A couple of fish and a few loaves of bread, right? Making a blind person see, a lame person walk, a deaf person hear, all of these things that the Scriptures had said Messiah would do. Signs, again, of his identity and his power. But now Jesus says, well, he's going to do, the Son is going to do greater works than these. And what are the greater works? Those sound pretty amazing. He even raised someone from the dead, brought someone back to the... Boy, what could be a greater sign or a greater work than that? We said, here's the greater work, is that the Son, even then, and through the years since, and even now, and even today, is doing the greater works than any of that. What is it? It is bringing spiritual life to the spiritually dead. Bringing spiritual life to perhaps billions of spiritually dead people. That's a pretty great work, isn't it? Now, in human history, the scripture says what? That image that John, that vision that John was given of in heaven, of what? Of how many redeemed people did he see in heaven? A vast, vast multitude. Right? Millions, perhaps billions of spiritually dead people brought to life by the power of the Son of God. That is the greater work, the greater works that he will do. And he says then that the Son will give life to whomever he wills. Jesus wills to give life to spiritually dead people. And he wills to give it to life to whomever he wills. And the scriptures say, who are the ones whom he wills to give that life to? Those who believe in him. And I'll again ask, you can figure out how you want to understand that tension there of God's choice and human responsibility. But it's clear that he will give spiritual life to those who were chosen in Christ, to those who believe in him. Also, the Father then has given authority of judgment to him. Because with this power and authority to raise the spiritually dead to spiritual life, he also will render judgment to a select few people. Every single person who's ever lived and ever will live will come under the authority and the judgment of the Son of God. And consequently, as a result then, he will be honored by all. He will be acknowledged and honored as Lord by all, won't he? Paul tells us in that wonderful passage in Philippians chapter 2 that the Son of God, how he humbled himself. He was made like one of us and he became a servant even to the point of death on a cross. So that what? So that one day all will acknowledge him. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord. And then Jesus tells us something to get our attention. Sometimes speakers will say things to get people's attention. They'll do things like, I've never been a pulpit slammer, but I noticed I got someone's attention right there with that, right? Yeah. Never been a pulpit slammer, but sometimes people will say things, they'll do things to what? Bring us back to get our attention or say, hey, listen up, pay attention. And this is one of the things that Jesus would do is there are times when he really wanted, now every word he says is worth our full attention, but there are times when he really wants us to hear and pay attention and he would say, truly, truly. Old King James Version said what? Verily, verily. Truly, truly. Like, hey, this is true, folks. What I'm about to tell you is true. It is absolutely true. So you better pay attention and listen. So a couple of things he says here. He says, truly, truly. Truly, truly. Whoever hears and believes has eternal life, does not come into judgment, has passed from death to life, and will be raised to life. You know, we've been talking about death and life, spiritual death, spiritual life. What are we talking about? Well, in the scriptures, at the heart of this term death is the idea of separation. So that spiritual death is a separation from the life and the blessing of God. It's to come under judgment and condemnation. Spiritual death is that separation from the life and the blessing of God. Condemnation, judgment, spiritual death. But spiritual life, though, is that blessing of God's presence. Not under judgment, but under His blessing. Eternal life doesn't just mean to exist forever and ever and ever. How many of us here in this room would want to exist forever and ever and ever in your current state? That's the point. It's not eternal life, it's eternal life. See the difference? Eternal life, not eternal death. So truly, truly, whoever hears this voice of the Son of God and believes in Him, believes in God who sent Him, has eternal life. You will not come into judgment. That is eternal judgment. God certainly judges sin, doesn't He? Including the sins of believers. And He disciplines His children, those whom He loves. There certainly still remains that kind of judgment. It is a discipline. But you will not come under eternal judgment. Because Jesus came under that judgment for us. And so you have passed then from death to life, from a state of spiritual death, of condemnation, of separation from the life and the blessing of God. You have passed from that into the state of blessing in Him. His love and His goodness, the eternal riches of Christ. Truly, truly, whoever hears and believes has eternal life, does not come under judgment, eternal judgment, but rather has passed from death to life, and also will be raised to life. What was Jesus talking about when He said we will be raised to life? Is the resurrection of the body. You know, some of us have this idea that if you are a believer, you put your faith, your trust in Jesus. Well, when you die, then this soul or spirit leaves the body, and then you live forever and ever in this disembodied state, in this place called heaven that we don't really understand. And is that what the Bible teaches? No. Well, it certainly does speak of being absent from the body, present from the Lord. Right? And those who have died in Christ before us have gone into His presence. But that's not the end of our salvation, is it? There's another step coming. When Jesus comes again, when He's going to raise these mortal bodies. You see, you're a human being. And you are, and you always will be for eternity. God fashioned a body for you, and He is going to raise it to glorious, glorious power and life, like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ after His resurrection. And the Son of God will do that by His power. He will raise to life the bodies of those who have believed in Him. Been talking about calling and regeneration, calling. And how does this happen? The one who hears and believes has all of these things. Well, God does it through calling and regeneration. If you want to get someone's attention, you want to talk to them, what do? You call out to them, don't you? If you're walking somewhere, you're in a store and you see there are people all around, but there you see someone you know. Hey, there's Scott. Rachel. Out in the crowd, you're getting the attention of a specific person. So Scripture speaks of the voice of God, the calling of God, in a couple of ways. One is a general way, a general and external call of the gospel. It says, whoever hears and believes has passed from death to life. And the general call of God goes out to whom? To everyone, through the preaching of the gospel message. But how many of you know, just because you proclaim the gospel message doesn't mean someone is saved and delivered on the spot, are they? Oh, if it were only that easy, right? It doesn't happen that way. But that's our responsibility. God calls, puts this calling to all, saying what? Whosoever hears and believes has life, will have life in the Son. But just that general external call of the gospel doesn't save people, because we're spiritually dead. We're preaching a message of life to spiritually dead people who can't hear it, who can't understand it, who can't respond to it. So that's part of what it means to be dead. The Scripture doesn't say that we're spiritually sick and we need a little help. It says, no, what? We are spiritually dead, cut off, unable. Which is why it takes a mighty work of the Holy Spirit of God. Brings an effectual internal call of the Holy Spirit. Now, if I was out in Meijer doing a little grocery shopping and I look over and I see one of you there, I already picked on Scott and Rachel. Who am I going to pick on next here? Let's see. How about Bob? Bob in the back there, he deserves it. So I see this crowd of people there. And I say to him, Bob, come here. He may hear, and of course he's getting up and starting to come here, naturally. I know you do that. See, I'm singling him out in this crowd to get his attention, to call his name. Now, Bob sees me, and then he turns around and goes the opposite direction, right? Says, oh, I don't like him. I don't want to talk to him. And maybe he goes the opposite way. But I'm persistent. I'm persistent. And I keep calling, Bob! Maybe he resists for a time. For whatever reason, he doesn't want to see me. But then at some point, something incredible happens within him. And he turns and comes. See, and with this call of the gospel is going out to everyone. But at some point, and those of you who know the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what I'm talking about. You heard his voice and you responded with faith. Because he called you effectively, internally, by the power of his Spirit. And what did he do? He regenerated you. That is, he made you alive spiritually. To regenerate means to put new life into. So we who were spiritually dead, God implants new life. In fact, we have a word for it in the Scriptures, this regeneration, this giving of life, this new life, making that which is dead, spiritually alive. Scripture calls it the new birth, or being born again, or born from above. In fact, Jesus told Nicodemus, what? Unless you are born again, born from above, unless you are regenerated, there is no life apart from that. You must be born again. And that's a mighty work of God's Spirit. It's a gift of God. He calls you and He makes you alive spiritually. And the response to that is faith and repentance. Now, there's some who believe in another order of understanding that believe that, well, God calls and a person believes, puts faith, and then God makes you alive. But you see, actually, I think it's the other way around. God calls and He makes us alive. And because now we're alive, we respond. Now we're able to respond with faith and repentance. I'm not going to get caught up on it. Please don't argue about it. Well, you can argue about it, but please don't be nasty about it. The point is it's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. And we're going to look a little more closely at that next week. But I want us to consider then one scripture passage on what God has done for you. The riches you have in Christ and calling you and regenerating you, making you alive. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, Apostle Paul says, "And you who believe in Jesus, you were dead." Not spiritually sick, but you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of what? Wrath or judgment, like the rest of mankind. But God... Aren't those two wonderful words? But God, you were dead. You were under judgment. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Wow, that's a powerful passage, isn't it? We're going to look a little bit more at that and what comes after it next week. Well, so what? What do you want me to do with this? Well, I would remind us once again that through the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God called to you and He called you out of a state of spiritual death. He's called you and He's given you eternal life. He regenerated you. He made you alive by His power. So I'll conclude with first asking, have you heard His voice and believed? You know, in the scriptures don't tell us that God, who has known us and loved us before time, chose us in Christ. He doesn't say, look for a little tattoo on the back of your neck somewhere that says, chosen or you belong to me. But He says what? He says, you who hear this gospel message, this good news of blessing in Christ, if you believe, you will receive this gift. Have you heard that voice? Has God called you? Maybe the Holy Spirit is touching someone's heart right now, calling you to know Him and to receive life in His name. Scripture says, believe that, trust that. If you believe, you will receive. And if you have believed, what I want you to do, well, I want you to just be thankful. Just be thankful. And I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm not asking you to serve on a committee or do this or do that, because we who have been given so much, therefore, we have so much work to do to be thankful to God for. And well, you know what? We do have the privilege of serving the Lord Jesus Christ and his people. We'll talk about all that stuff as we go a little further on. But today, I just want you to be thankful. I just want you to be thankful and praise his name. Are you grateful for the riches of his grace? And I'll be the first to admit, it's so easy to kind of take it all for granted, isn't it? To set it aside and get consumed by the needs and the worries and the cares of life in this world. But Lord, heaven help us when we get consumed by that stuff instead of this wonderful truth of who we are in Christ and what God has done for us in Christ. I want to close our service then today by asking you to stand as we pray together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what amazing, amazing riches you have generously and graciously poured out on us in Jesus Christ. We who were spiritually dead, unable to respond to your voice, you made us alive. You made us who were dead alive. You gave us a new capacity to hear you and to respond with faith. And because we have believed, we have received every spiritual blessing. God, maybe there's someone here who the Spirit of God is calling to that person now. If God is calling to you now, would you respond to him and say, "Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe, Lord Jesus, that you died for me, that you lived a perfect life for me, that my sin was placed on you, that you were punished for my sin, so that I would not come under judgment or wrath. You died for me. You were buried and you rose again for me. I believe that and I believe you. I trust you, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for my life in your name." And maybe you've believed that for a long, long time. Are you grateful this morning? Would you praise his name? We thank you, Lord Jesus. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.